Our New Testament reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35, through chapter 10, verse 23. That's page 790 in your pew Bible. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanian, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your God speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly, I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." In our hearing, our speaking, our living, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so excited and so grateful to be your guest preacher today and to let Paul have a day off, especially on Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to everyone here who is a father. Several weeks ago, I stumbled upon an interesting article on pathos.com. While trying to find it again for this sermon, I found hundreds of articles and blog posts on the same topic. The young people are leaving the church. It seems that everyone has an assumption about why we're leaving and opinions for how to get us back. This article also had some ideas, but the author's main argument was that young people are leaving, and maybe it's time for the church to follow. That's a daring idea, perhaps, and maybe an uncomfortable one, but the pattern of breaking forth into emergent contexts, that is not new for the church. That began right here in Matthew 9 and 10 in the thick of Jesus' ministry. He goes to the poor and the sick, the oppressed and the marginalized, teaching and proclaiming good news and healing the wounds of the masses. Jesus observes that the brokenness is overwhelming and the need for wholeness and freedom is too great for one person to achieve. So he instructs his disciples to pray for workers. And then, with a touch of irony, he shows them that they are the answer to their own prayer. Jesus takes those 12 young people whom he had called and entrusts them with his authority and mission, leaving no room for distinction between what he does and what he calls them to do. He sent them to proclaim good news of hope and life, and he reminded them that wherever the good news is preached, healing and liberation occur. The first followers of Jesus were given those basic instructions to guide them through those early years, but that only took them so far. Eventually, the church had to let those initial directions guide but not dictate. Jesus promised the divine spirit would provide wisdom for new challenges. And there have been many challenges. In different times in the church's history, it has been called to be the hands and feet, the body of Christ. There have been times that we have failed, but quite often we have bravely risen to the challenge. The church is once again facing a significant moment in its history. Something new is happening. Change is brewing and the Spirit is moving. My professor of church history used to say that we are living through the death rattle of American Protestantism. But we know that resurrection comes after death, that spring follows the winter. Church historians, they also believe that we are living through the greatest paradigm shift ever, more meaningful than the Protestant Reformation. We have no idea what it is. We have no idea what it means, and we don't know what it will look like. But it is a great time to be the church. The first mandate of Jesus continues to guide us forward into the unknown. The call remains the same. The church is sent out from these four walls to be a blessing to the communities that surround it. There is good news to be proclaimed in our time. And it is the purpose of the church to proclaim it, to heal wounds, to liberate those trapped in bondage to corrupt and unjust systems. We here are very familiar with the challenges of our time, and we are tired. The recent years of struggle against power have drained us, and it feels as though we are being thrown backwards. Like we've been running on a treadmill and we just now realized it. So we turn off the TV. We remove Facebook from our smartphones. We return to sacred places where we can rest, be renewed, and be reminded that we are not alone on this journey. We gather together here to hear the good news of hope and the promise of new life. And we sit, if you're like me, under trees and by the waters, and let the perfection and truth of nature fill up our mission tanks once again. But we can't stay there. There is still work to be done. It is a lot, and it feels overwhelmingly daunting. It feels that there are not enough of us to do the work. But as Matthew showed, the church began with 12 young people, leaving behind their religious structures and going where they were needed the most. So as a young adult who stayed, I think we need to keep moving forward. Let us not surrender to the fear that threatens to paralyze us. And let us not tremble when the healing and liberating good news of Jesus Christ ruffles some feathers or causes some waves and offends. Jesus offended many, especially the privileged, and we must do the same. As the history of the church shows us, when we're doing it right, we will offend the powerful. In fact, if we are meant to build upon everything that Jesus did, then conflict is inevitable. But we were promised that the presence of Christ would be with us, that the Spirit of wisdom will embolden us and give us the words to speak, and that if we endure, we will succeed. We need time to rest and recuperate, but we cannot stop until all of our brothers and sisters have equal opportunity for wholeness and justice and peace. We cannot stop until we are all paid a living wage for honest work. We cannot stop until equal access to healthcare is no longer a question. We cannot stop until our children no longer have to go to bed hungry. And we cannot stop until justice is truly colorblind and equal. And maybe while we're out there doing this work, healing the rifts in our society and casting out the demons of our time, maybe we'll find some of the young people that left, and together we can courageously move forward into the unknown ahead of us, following in the footsteps of those who came before and always trusting in the one who called us and sent us all. Amen.